This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome back to Market Talk. You'll notice we haven't been on air for a while, but the tragic events in Ukraine have meant that our CIO, Sonia Loud, has been updating investors with a series of podcasts on implications for stock markets, debt, and the climate transition. You can access these via Apple Podcasts, our website, or however you get your podcasts, so do have a listen when time. Okay, so here to the here and now, and sharing with us his expert views on what's on the financial agenda for this week, I'm delighted to welcome back Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are you?
Hi, Frances. I'm very well, personally, although it's a tricky situation in Hong Kong at the minute, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I'm just trying to get my head around all the tragic events in Ukraine. And indeed, as you say, this huge volatility in the Hang Seng. Talk us through, Ben, what's going on.
Yeah, there's lots of different factors and it's all related both a little bit to Hong Kong, but also really to China too. So if we think about what's going on in China, at the end of last year, we were hoping, weren't we, for a policy pivot, that policymakers were going to increase the amount of credit available to these indebted borrowers, you know, particularly the property developer sector, you know, the property sector as a whole. But actually, we got some credit data a couple of days ago for the first part of this year, January, February. It's pretty weak still. And yet, despite weak credit creation data, the PBOC, the Bank of China, decided not to cut interest rates. So I think everyone was a bit worried that that means that policymakers, you know, on the sidelines, really, instead of providing more support. We did get some very strong activity data for January and February, which, again, I think made people worry that, again, if everyone thinks everything is fine, then we're not going to get any more support. And at the same time, we've got a COVID wave. Of course, we've got a COVID wave here in Hong Kong, and that's clear. And it seems to be developing as well across China. It's difficult to know exactly what sort of economic activity is going to be impacted, but it's impacting in terms of GDP of the regions that have some sort of lockdown or some sort of restrictions. About 25% of China's GDP or exports. That's a huge part of China potentially.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you've got the regulatory crackdowns that we're talking about as well. So yeah, the Hang Seng, I mean, if you look at the charts, it's horrendous. Up until Tuesday's close, so we're talking here on Wednesday the 16th of March, so as of Tuesday's close, the Hang Seng was down 41% from the peaks of last year, so that the height that it got to last year, down 41%. If you look at the technology part of that, to the same point from the peaks of last year, it was down 68%. As you say, today on Wednesday, it's rebounding quite a lot. I think it was up 8% last time I looked. So huge amounts of volatility, but overall down a fair amount. I think, you know, valuations are corrected massively, but investors are hoping for some sort of official support in order to get some confidence and start reinvesting again.
Seems a bit like the perfect storm. You're being hit by all angles. Let's go from China then to the developed markets of the West. I know it could be the week of the hike this week. We've got the Fed decision today. We've got the Bank of England tomorrow. And all in pretty much hawkish mode. And none more so then actually than the ECB last week. Do you want to just talk us through that one, Ben?
Yeah, remember, central banks have got a bit of a difficult thing to work out, haven't they? They've got, of course, tight labour markets, high inflation. Then they've got the uncertainty around what's going on in Ukraine, which presumably is going to have a negative impact on growth because of, you know, higher commodity prices eating into people's consumption. But at the same time that it's negatively impacting growth, it's also probably positively impacting inflation again. And in reality, central banks have got to try and control inflation. So last week with the ECB, I think there was a debate, there was a discussion about, you know, how hawkish would they be? Would they side with the concerns about growth, or would they side with the concerns about even higher inflation? And it seemed like they did the latter. The rhetoric was definitely more hawkish. They haven't hiked interest rates. They probably won't be hiking interest rates, most people think, until towards the end of this year. But, you know, that definitely is on the table. But they are talking about accelerating the tapering of their purchases, so withdrawing that. And like I said, talking about the upside risk to inflation. So that was at least from a rhetoric point of view, a hawkish surprise.
And then, as you say, I mean, it is inflation over growth, isn't it, for the US Fed and for the Bank of England, and of course all the ramifications, therefore, I suppose, on the good old consumer.
Yep. The chair, Jay Powell, when he spoke to Congress a couple of weeks ago, he said that 25 basis points hike was pretty much what he was going to be backing. So it was a bit of a pre-announcement. So probably will be a 25 basis point hike. But we think that within that, they probably will again sound quite hawkish. So, you know, talking about the potential for more hikes this year, of course. I think most people now think they'll hike once a meeting. Could even hike 50 basis points at some point this year if inflation continues to go up. And remember, the US is relatively isolated from some of the direct impact of the Russia-Ukraine situation in terms of the commodity price. They don't take as much energy out of Russia as, say, Europe does. So I think the Federal Reserve has got to focus a little bit more on the fact that, you know, unemployment is at 3.8%, which is very low. Inflation is at nearly 8%, which is very high. And therefore, they're going to have to do something about that. The Bank of England, somewhere in between. They have very high inflation, of course, in the UK. And again, the employment situation is pretty tight too. But they're a little bit more impacted, of course, by energy prices, I think, as everyone knows, in terms of trying to fill up your car with petrol, of course. But again, the Bank of England probably will hike as well. Again, this could all sound very silly in a couple of days. Probably will hike as well by 25 basis points this week. So, yeah, people are hiking.
Yeah. And as you say, a lot of squeezing going on certainly the UK consumer's purse. Just in terms of where this leaves us then, Ben, in terms of geopolitics, in terms of tightening monetary policy on the whole, for the Western world at least, what does all this translate to in you had a monthly strategy meeting. What was the overall tone there?
This is, again, it's a very interesting balance, a bit like the central banks have got a balance between growth and inflation. We have a balance as investors between a lot of pretty bad news, lots of headwinds, let's say, but also valuations that are pricing in quite a lot of bad news and a lot of headwinds. So, you know, we're trying to think about at what point are markets, our equity markets, credit markets cheap enough? I guess at what point is sentiment bad enough that the forced sellers are all out of there and as a result, it's relatively cheap? We're sort of on that line right now, I would say. We were still pretty cautious last week because valuations are not quite pricing in a European recession. And there is a risk of a European recession, given what's going on in Ukraine with an increase in commodity prices. I think that is definitely a risk. So if that was to be the case, then I think valuations could get even cheaper.
And just to interrupt, are you talking here about credit valuations or equity valuations or both?
Both. I think all markets are reflecting to some degree a lot of the downside here. So, yeah, we can get into real nuances, but in reality, we're talking about risk assets in general. Sure. So, yeah, equity, credit markets. And I think there are parts where valuations do look pretty cheap and possibly interesting to start dipping your toe back in. And we have been doing that a little bit in terms of some of the active credit portfolios. So yeah, it's around that time now. And that's when the portfolio managers really earn their keep, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to on the direction of monetary policy, we know it's going that way. But given, as you say, commodity prices and pressure on the consumer and the geopolitical tensions, do you think there's any possibility of any fiscal largesse? We've seen huge amounts already. We've seen COVID and now this conflict. I mean, it really has been miserable, hasn't it?
Well, it's fascinating that politicians, haven't they? They've decided that now, whenever there's a big downturn or a big shock, that it's time to get the checkbook out, isn't it? So definitely over COVID, yeah. And that made a lot of sense. And I think also here it does make a bit of sense that certain parts of the consumer sector, certain parts of the industrial sector are being really impacted by higher energy costs. So perhaps there's a way of subsidizing that. But actually, it doesn't feel that targeted. The US Congress has just voted in a massive fiscal package, which looks at both defence spending. Of course, that's another part of the spending that's going to go up, isn't it, as a result of all this, plus the non-defence, roughly 50-50. But everyone got their way on this spending, so it feels as though that's coming out. We'll see what Chancellor Sunak talks about in the spring statement next week. And again, the European financial ministers are getting together on a regular basis and talking about what they might be able to do. But remember, all of this is potentially inflationary. If you hand out more money, it could start to see prices go up again, and central banks on the back of that will want to potentially withdraw some of their support a bit quicker. So it's not a free lunch. So it's, no, exactly. it's all part of the balance. So yeah, I'm not sure it's 100% positive if it does happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what we don't want. But what we exactly do want is your number for the week. Have you had time to think of a number, Ben? I know you're super busy at the moment. And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I definitely have been looking at numbers the last few weeks.
A lot of numbers.
And you know, I'm a bond strategist at heart, so I look a lot at yields. And one thing that I was scratching my head about for the last few weeks was the U.S. high yield bond markets. This is a Bloomberg index. Now, the yield on this, it's called high yield. These are sub investment grade bonds. The yield on this back in July 2021, so less than a year ago, was 3.5%. So I'm not exactly sure that counts as high yield, does it? But that was back then. But my number of the week now is 6.5, because it's gone up to 6.5% again as of yesterday, Tuesday's close. And that's starting to be high yield, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you know, this is my point about valuation and the risks there. There is a decent now priced into these sorts of valuations, both because credit spreads have widened and also underlying government bond yields have gone up, and you're starting to get some interesting numbers.
Yeah, and now we're going back, well, it seems we're going back to, you know, risk premium is being priced properly at last. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, it's certainly getting there. And whether it's proper or whether it's cheap, you know, that's to be debated over the next couple of weeks. But it's definitely feels it's getting there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'll let you go and debate more with the colleagues. But for now, Ben, thanks so much for your time. And thank you all for listening. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com.
Copyright 2021, Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.